Okay, everybody, I'm just going to go ahead. This is Terry Pappy, and I'm just going to go ahead and start. And if you guys don't mind just muting your phone so we can get through the first part, and then I'm going to open it up to Q&A at the end. And hopefully I'll get you guys to jump in and we can have some fun on the end of the call. So I just want to introduce myself, first of all, so you guys have a little bit more context about who I am. Again, my name is Terry Pappy, and I am actually based in Orlando, Florida. So we are having a beautiful day here today. And I have spent my whole professional career as a graphic designer slash copywriter slash marketing professional. You name it, I've done it. I've had a career in that particular area and have worked at all different types of employers, from printing companies to typesetting houses to newspapers, advertising agencies, and of course on the client side as well. So I came up through traditional graphic design, you know, pre-internet, pre-desktop publishing. So I have experienced both worlds, and let me tell you, I love the digital world. So the business I have now is 12 years young, and it's called Better 3. And in this business, I work with service-based business owners who really want to focus on their clients' long-term relationships, working with people over months as opposed to just doing transactional engagements. And I help them really develop their brands, write great copy, create lead generation, do some really fun branding that's based on their personalities and what makes them unique. And I've spent the last, you know, 12 years in this business really refining my positioning and figuring out how to run a business. And I came across ILCT last year, was referred to me by actually a coach I was working with. And he said, you know, Terry, you have a lot of natural coaching capability. You know, your style is very coach friendly and you're very helpful in the way you work with people. You might want to consider getting certified. So he recommended ILCT, and I attended, got my training last year, and just absolutely loved the organization. And they also invited me to come on as a subject matter expert to, you know, just offer anything and everything I could about marketing, about business development, about, you know, elevating your practice and making things, you know, work that much better in your business. And last year I did a series on specific to marketing, and this particular series is about business mindset, because that really comes up for me a lot with the clients I initially start working with. I find that they have some mindset issues that really get in the way of them expanding and growing their business and stepping into areas that are have been normally uncomfortable for them. So I put together this this series for you guys, and I'm so glad that you're here. And I'm just going to go ahead and dive into it so we can get through the content, and I want to focus on answering your questions at the end of this particular segment. So let's go ahead and get started. And again, if you have your, if you can, please mute your phone so that way everybody can hear well. This is also being recorded for ILCT to use on their website for future folks who haven't, didn't have the opportunity to be on today's call, so which is a really great thing that they're doing for everybody. So welcome. Now, the reason, as I was saying, I chose to do a training on business mindset was really because I struggled growing my business for many years. You know, it's funny because my entire career had been built around being a highly skilled creative technician for other companies and advertising agencies. And, you know, I was locked in the mindset of being a producer. So it was like they'd say, you know, we'll pay you X to design and create Y. So I was literally just sitting in front of a computer or at a light table or doing something in a production capacity. And that, you know, I was getting paid a salary. And so I was a producer. And what was interesting was I unknowingly perpetuated that mindset when I started my new business after being laid off at Marriott. I was working with Marriott, let's see, I think it was there for 6 years. And because I had that skilled producer mindset, I always struggled with the growth side of my business. I never charged enough. I worked like a dog. And it was always time for money, so I could only make so much. So I charged hourly rates, and people would hire me to do tasks, and I'd sit at my computer and I would do these tasks, you know, whether it was designing a website, writing copy, you know, developing a logo, brand, you know, whatever the capacity was. It was always time for money. So it was just me doing the work. It took me a long time to figure out why I couldn't grow my business and make more money. You know, what had to change first, though, was my mindset. I had to look at my business like a business and not me breaking my back taking care of clients. Now, don't get me wrong. I provide a level of service that's substantial, and I'm really proud about it. But the way I do it now is so much more appropriate to operating a business like a manager, not a producer. So in this series, I'll help you distinguish business mindset and learn the most important things about what mindset can bring to the table when it comes to your coaching practice. You'll come away from this series feeling more clear and in control about what you're building and how to grow it as a business. It'll empower you and help you sidestep the overwhelm and build a profitable business that you love. And, you know, that's kind of why we're doing this, right? We want to be doing something that we enjoy doing. That's what's going to get us out of bed in the morning. So let's talk for a minute about mindsets, okay? Because in coaching and the training coaching that we've had, we learned a ton about mindsets. And one of my favorite books is Dr. Carol Dweck's book, Mindset, the New Psychology of Success. So in that particular book, she distinguishes two mindsets, one being the fixed mindset, which is where a person believes their qualities are carved in stone, and that a fixed mindset creates an urgency to prove yourself over and over, which I totally can relate to given where I was, you know, when I first started my business. Now, versus the other, which is a growth mindset. Now, a growth mindset is based on the belief that your basic qualities are things you can cultivate through your efforts, your strategies, and help from others. So when starting or growing your practice, mindset will make or break your success. Building a coaching business mindset is where you adopt and consistently nurture a growth mindset. Why is this so important as a foundation for your practice? Because as a coach or any service business owner, you are on a continuous improvement journey of the skills, experience, and value you can provide clients. As your business grows, your value proposition grows as well. And it affords you the opportunity to create more revenue streams through your practice. Now, one of the things that I wanted to cover in this first session was the state of transitioning from being a student or working another type of capacity, doing your training on the side, and then eventually with the goal of having a full-time coaching practice that you could do as a business. So let's talk about the state of transition from student to practitioner. Even if you're still working, because a lot of us are professionals already in some type of either full-time employment or something like that where we're transitioning to include coaching certification as our expanded credentialing. And whether that's leading to doing a business or enhancing the business you're already in, it's definitely something where you have the mindset of a student. And then when you're done and you've got that nice piece of paper with the fancy border, you can actually take that and use it as a credential in your business. So I remember my ILCT instructor, the late Jim Volcolo, used to say, if it moves, ask if you can coach it. One day you're working toward your coaching certification, focusing all of your energy on learning techniques and getting practice. During that time, you're coaching anything that moves, as Jim would say, to gain confidence and experience being a coach. However, as you're practicing during your program, you may not be charging for your coaching. When I was taking my foundations course at ILCT, I had a few clients that I invited to be coached for free so I could get the practice. It's what Jim recommended, and I'm glad I did because it really helped me apply what I was learning while I was still in class. So as things arose in my practice coaching sessions, I could float them during class and get feedback or help from Jim and my classmates. And it worked really, really well because it was like, this is a real case scenario. Now, there's a transition you have to make as you finish your training and move into coaching professionally, and you start charging. And that's always a tough transition, going legit. Many new coaches can be a bit reluctant to ask big dollars for their coaching and struggle financially because they don't believe they're ready to charge like more than $100 for a half hour, for example. And it's all relative depending on the market you're in, depending on your experience, etc. Now, it can be uncomfortable to make that leap, but you need to do it. There are ways to work around your discomfort, such as providing like sample engagements that lead to higher paying, longer engagements with clients, or offering online support. There are a bunch of different ways you can sculpt your coaching products to suit your price and comfort level, and you know, make it more easy for clients to actually work with you, because that's really what you want. You want to be compensated appropriately, but you also want to be able to make it accessible to people. Now, my advice is that you need to charge what you want coming out of the gate. Why? Because it validates your training. It also mirrors the life experience you've had in the area you're providing expertise. So, for example, if you've been in healthcare and nutrition your like entire career on the corporate side, for example, and like you worked for a hospital or a healthcare system and you were like a nutrition specialist or a counselor or something like that, and let's say you also taught yoga as a side hustle and decided to get your coaching certificate because you wanted to start like a health and wellness coaching practice. You have years of experience in that field. Now, because it wasn't all in the context of coaching, should not diminish the fact that you're an expert at that topic. So you need to charge what you want. You'll attract better quality clients and you'll feel better about the work you do. Don't cheapen your value by charging low fees for your coaching. I made this mistake when I first had left Marriott and was out on my own. I was so desperate to get work, I was literally like giving my time away just so I could start building some client business. And as a result, for the years ensuing, I ended up getting locked into this discounted rate that the clients that kept working with me, I could never really incrementally grow them that much because I was basing it on an hourly rate. But granted, this was a different model than coaching. It was, obviously the marketing tactical stuff. But it still matters. When you cheapen your value by charging low fees, it can set a pattern moving forward into the future of your business. And that's why I recommend that you need to charge what you want coming out of the gate. Now, obviously, you want to be market sensitive. You don't want to charge $5,000 an hour when, you know, you're in a market that just financially there are not enough clients to actually support that. So you have to be business smart about it. Do your research, find out what the, you know, what most coaches are charging, and then use that as a set point to actually, because your clients, your prospects are going to be doing the same thing. They're going to be looking at the same comparison. And that's why, you know, selling your coaching time by the hour, by price like that really commoditizes who you are. And I'm going to be going into that more in the future, the next two sessions, as I talk more about sales and marketing. Now, getting back to the coaching business mindset, what really defines a coaching business mindset? It's a growth mindset, as I mentioned earlier, focused on operating a coaching practice that benefits both you and your clients. A good coaching business mindset is a blend of self-care, business acumen, creativity, marketing, professionalism, and ethics. Now, building a business is a marathon, not a sprint. Being a professional coach or any service business owner involves you as the expert delivering value through your hands-on service. It's you who's delivering the goods, which is why many coaches get stuck in the time for money model in business. Now, what I mean by that is that you're booking coaching sessions and charging an hourly rate or a package fee for a set amount of time with you, whether one-on-one or in a group setting. That model is not scalable. There are only so many hours in a day, and there's only one you. And this is the problem I ran into in my business. Now, successful coaches have cracked this code and created a business that is truly scalable, gives them unlimited earning potential, and much more freedom. And that's why we got into business for ourselves in the first place, right? Absolutely. So when you have a good coaching business mindset, you view your business differently. It's more of a quest to create products and services that address your clients' needs and open up new revenue streams in your practice. Leverage your experience and expertise in a profitable way. Constantly innovate and maintain a growth mindset, and your business will always be growing. Now, let's talk about threats. When you start your practice, whether it's a side hustle at first or full-time, there are always going to be threats. Now, these threats vary from person to person, but the ones I've seen contribute the most stress and kill the right mindset are finances and family. To avoid these common threats, be sure that you are managing money and family needs in a healthy way, which, you know, in our coaching training, we learn a lot about that. I know I did. Manage them in a healthy way. Otherwise, they'll take away from your dedication to making your new practice successful. And in the beginning, just like with a new baby, your business will require a lot of attention and care in order to grow. So, for example, create an environment where you're not stressed about finances by side hustling your practice at first if you're still working a full or even part-time job. It could take some of the pressure off a certain level of income right off the bat, which will stress your performance. And I've worked with new clients that have been in those situations where they're like, they draw a line in the sand and they're like, okay, I'm leaving my job, you know, Friday, and then Monday I'm starting my practice. And the weeks and even months leading up to that line in the sand, they're just totally stressing out because they know that it takes time to get ramped up in the business. They know it takes time to build a clientele, to do marketing, to build all the assets you need to actually drive business into your practice. So those are some of the things that you need to consider, because it will kill the business growth if you're stressed out and overwhelmed by financial issues. So work smart around your finances for your business. Now, for family challenges, coordinate with your spouse or your family to get support parenting and running the household while you're building your practice. So if you've got kids and, you know, you're trying to build this business while still trying to manage the family and everything going on in the household, it can be a real stressor. But here's the thing, your loved ones will want you to be successful following your dream of becoming a coach, so allow them to help you. That was always one of my biggest problems, was I was like, I can do it. I put my hands up in the air. I can do it. I got it under control. And I never really let anybody help me until I got into a situation where I had to ask for help. And they were so happy to be able to do that for me. And it changed the ability for me to focus and not feel so isolated and overwhelmed with everything I was trying to build in my business. It was actually 2 years after my husband passed away too. So I not only had the layoff from Marriott when I was kind of forced to start my business, but also I was still grieving my husband, and my family was trying to help me. And I was like, no, I got it. I'm under control. I'm okay. And they just wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't give up. And finally I said, all right, you can help. And they were so happy, because they actually really helped me get off to a really good start in my business. So don't think you have to continue doing it all just because you don't want to ruffle any feathers in your house. You know, if you're happier because you're doing what you love to do, your family is going to see it, and they'll support it by helping out more. You can be a powerful role model for your kids, your spouse, anybody in your family, by doing what you love and allowing your family support. So work on it together with your family so you don't have those two stressors as threats that impede upon your business's ability to really get going, okay? Now, when you're a solopreneur, you do everything, including aspects of your business you are not very good at. And that could be marketing, bookkeeping, selling. You know, in the beginning, unless you're lucky enough to have resources at your fingertips or the funds to pay for outsourcing, you're going to have to wear a lot of hats. The toughest one for many is sales and marketing. Now, let's face it, you're going to have to market and sell your coaching. Just because you're in a new venture doesn't mean everybody's going to suddenly rush to your door. I mean, you know, we talked about this in the coaching training. And anybody who wants to go into business does the marketing 101. They know that that's a component of business. But you have to distinguish your brand and build a business that's easily consumable and know your target market. But don't worry, because I'm here to help you conquer the sales and marketing side of building your practice. We'll get into that on the next call, making the sales and marketing part of running your business easier. You're going to love that one. That's in 2 weeks. So make sure you sign up for that one too. So that's kind of what I really wanted to cover on this. I really wanted to just touch on the things that are about mindset, why mindset's important to focus on when you're transitioning from, you know, being a student, doing the work that you're doing, you know, learning, getting the education, getting the experience, doing your practice coaching, and then all of a sudden you flip the switch and then you start charging. And you could have feet in both worlds, whether it's a current job, whether it's full-time or part-time, and then start coaching on the side. Or even if you want to keep that feet, you know, keep those feet in both worlds for a significant amount of time, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, once your coaching practice gets reasonably sustainable and is bringing in some good revenue, then you can let that foot up and then bring it into the full-time coaching. And that transition, you have to honor that. You have to allow yourself to adjust from being the, you know, worker, person, slash coach, learning, you know, student into business owner. And if you're already in an existing business and you're expanding your knowledge through the certification of coaching, like let's say you're a therapist and you're getting a coaching certificate so you can expand some of your services, there's still a transition time because you're different. You've changed from who you were before you did your training and got that certificate to who you are now. And these are really important changes in your mind and in your heart that need to be honored. So give that the space and the healing that it needs in order to show up and allow you to have that transition time. Because it will add to the stress if you try to, you know, just suddenly, you know, like one minute you're Bruce Wayne and the next you're Batman. You know, it's just not like that. So I wanted to make sure that I talked about transition, honoring the transition. And then scaling, you know, what is it about scaling your model for coaching? You know, if you get into doing the time for money model, it's not going to be sustainable because you'll constantly be tapped out with what you can offer. And a lot of coaches are, like I said, figuring this out. They've cracked the code and they've created truly sustainable, scalable businesses that give them unlimited earning potential. And some of them are doing it in really creative ways. Now, and then just to recap on the threats, make sure that the threats, and they could be threats beyond finances and family. They could be health. They could be other, you know, like if you're taking care of an aging parent, or if you're doing something else, if you have a commitment, like let's say your spouse has a company that he or she relies on you to provide support. One of my newest clients actually is a husband and wife team, and he's the creative talent and she's the financial person. And a lot of times that is something that will pull your time away. So make sure that you're taking care of the other pulls in your life so they don't become threats, so they don't put you into overwhelm and make you put off things that are really important in growing your business. And yeah, in the beginning, you're going to be doing just about everything. In many ways, I'm still doing a lot of my own work in my company, but a lot of it is because I love it. But bookkeeping, accounting, things like that, the legal stuff, I definitely go to my experts on that. There are other people. I have my own. Actually, I have two coaches that I'm working with on a pretty consistent basis. One is a business coach, and another one is coaching me on my skill as a trainer and coach myself. So I love being on that constant learning journey. So just know and allow yourself the opportunity to go through this growth period where, yeah, you're going to have to bootstrap some stuff. You're going to have to take on figuring out things that are not really in your wheelhouse just to get them done. And if you have the ability to outsource or to get someone to help you with certain areas, please take advantage of it if you can do it, because it will definitely allow you to have a more singular focused thought on the work that you need to do. So that way you're doing it on strategy, you're sticking with your plan, and you're getting stuff done. So I want to follow, I want to allow time for Q&A, so I wanted to make sure that I use the first half hour just to go through my content. And so to, you know, I really want you to have the right business mindset. And just remember, it starts with having a growth mindset, as I was saying in Carol Dweck's book. And it's a great book if you want to read it. It gives a lot of great case stories, case studies in there that, you know, show examples of where that's working really well. Know that you're going to continuously learn, innovate, and build more value in what you offer your clients. And that is the growth mindset, isn't it? So having the right mindset will allow you to sidestep the overwhelm and turn threats into opportunities for growth, as I mentioned. Running a business is one of the most rewarding ventures you can possibly take on. Well, maybe raising kids is another one. But especially a service-based business, you know, where you're the one delivering the personal touch and delivering you. So with the right mindset, you'll feel more confident knowing your skills and techniques will always expand and help your business succeed. Now, before I get into the Q&A and wrap up, I have a special that I want to share with you. One of the things that I love to do when I do these programs for ILCT is I like to put together a special package for the folks that actually attend and listen to the training, because I want, you know, a lot of times people come back to me and say, oh, Terry, I need, you know, I want to work on this. Can I do that? Ask me all kinds of questions. So I'm like, here's the perfect thing. So if you're a do-it-yourselfer or have an assistant who is, you know, who can help you, you know, with stuff, but you're tired of spinning your wheels trying to find the right solution for your business, tactical coaching may be a perfect solution. You know, I as I was evolving my business, one of the things that I incorporated after I got my training was coaching. And I found that coaching is obviously not necessarily prescriptive per se, but a lot of people were coming to me like, Terry, how do I do this? You know, how do I do that? So it's more tapping that consultant in me. So I was like, well, why don't I come up with this hybrid and call it tactical coaching? So it's basically a combination of coaching where we have accountability and then the tactical stuff. So I can actually work with my clients and say, this is how you do this. You know, go here, get this, put it over here, make it look this, and I review the work they're doing. So it's almost like I'm like an art director or marketing director for them. And it works out really good. So I wanted to put a package together with some special information and some extra things in there that that you guys might be interested in pursuing or looking into a little bit further. I'm happy to talk to any of you guys about it, but it's special just for this group here. And you can learn more about it by going to better3.com/special, and it's just for you guys. So I just wanted to throw that in there because sometimes I get so caught up at the end of the call talking to people that I forget to mention it. I'm like, just go there because there's a little special thing there for you if you want it. So I want to go ahead and open it up for questions. I want to, you know, put it out there to you guys based on everything I've shared so far in this conversation. You can ask me specific questions about mindset, or you can share like a challenge that you're currently having in your practice right now if you've actually been in business for a little while and doing it, or if you have a question about marketing or sales. You know, those are all areas that I'm happy to answer any questions. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines for you guys to jump in. So just remember to take your phone off mute and just raise your hand and let's go. Let's go for it. We got a half hour yet.
Hi, this is Marcia. How are you?
Hi, Marcia. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. I have two questions. One, what's the spelling of Carol's last name for the book?
It's Dweck. D as in dog. Dweck.
Thank you. And then how do you go about finding how much coaches in your area charge?
Have you tried to do that yet?
No, I'm new to this.
Okay, good deal. So if you were looking for a coach, tell me, walk me through the steps of what you would do. We'll figure it out together.
I would Google it.
Okay, and then what?
I would read some of the reviews. I would see who was around me. Maybe call them up and see if we gelled when I talked to them.
Okay, what else would you do?
I'd see what kind of qualifications they have.
Mm-hmm.
And how long they've been doing it for.
Okay, what else?
That'd be pretty much it.
Okay. So, right, so you just basically laid out your marketing strategy. So those are the things that most people looking for a coach, once they realize that they actually, A, can get a coach, and B, that coaching is something that will facilitate whatever they're struggling with and move them forward in wherever they want to go, right? Because this is a new thing. You know, there's a lot of people learning to be coaches, but most people are, it's a new concept to realize that, wow, I'm an adult, I'm out there living my life, I've got family, whatever's going on in my life. I could actually hire somebody to, you know, coach me. Now, most people understand that you know, there are therapists out there and counselors and stuff in the more traditional healthcare arena. However, coaching is a very modern, very new approach because there's so many different types of coaching capacities that are coming to fruition now. So when someone is looking for a coach, a lot of times they're going to go through the same route that you're going through. So they're going to find out how much you cost by starting with Google, right? Google it, see who's showing up, read reviews, see who was around, call them up and see if they gelled when you talk to them, check out their qualifications and how long they were doing it for. But what really is going to make you want to hire that coach?
I guess if I just felt good talking to them.
Okay. So what are some of the things that would make you feel good during the call? And I'm going somewhere with this, so thank you for bearing with me.
If they made me feel positive, if they gave me something that I could go forward with, that I could grasp onto, that I could actually see something, if they gave me a goal, something to look forward, you know, to.
And why is that important?
Because then I would have something to work towards, so I would know that I have a way to get to where I need to go.
Gotcha. You basically have hope that you could resolve whatever you were being challenged with, and you knew that there was someone out there who could guide you.
Perfect, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things that you didn't mention was, at least I don't remember hearing you say it, was how much they charged.
You're
so
right.
Typically, yeah, so that was that was your initial question was, you know, how do I find out what coaches charge? And as you could see, as you went through the thought process of, you know, how you would go about that if you were a coaching client looking for a coach, that didn't come up for you right away. But it was probably in there somewhere, right? So talk to me a little bit more about how you feel about charging a specific rate or that whole topic of charging for your coaching. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, it's funny because I once went to a nutritionist that charged me like $400 for the first half hour, and I was like, wow. And I only went back two or three more times because I just didn't feel I could be connected, and I felt it was overpriced. So I would rather be priced where I felt that people would keep coming back but not lowballing myself. So I guess I would have to find a happy medium where I know is I would be able to build my clientele also and not be just like a one-time hit or a couple of times, because you want to be able for it to continue and have other people come to you. So if you're asking me what I think I might, I don't know, I guess it depends upon, I think my area is a pretty good area.
Okay, what else?
And I think I'm pretty good at making people feel good about themselves and finding some peace and relaxation and calming them down. So I kind of think if I can give them the hope or the relief that they need, they'll see the value of what I'm giving them. Regardless of anything else, they're going to want what I can give. So I basically just answered my own question. I can charge as long as I keep producing and making them feel that way, then it'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as I keep them, you know, if you make them feel good and have hope and peace and give them ideas, then they'll want to keep coming back.
Yeah, well, not only that, but you're helping them achieve the result that they want. And that's the critical thing. So going back to this person that charged $400 for the first half hour that you went to just a couple times after that, and you felt you didn't connect and that she was overpriced. Tell me more about what was it about the outcome or the experience that was not being satisfied for you?
I guess because I was actually looking to be able to eat more food and feel better with the food that I ate. And she basically just said to me, oh, no, you're fine. Keep eating what you're eating. And that's not why I went. I went to broaden and change what I was eating and wanted to learn how to be healthy with what I was eating. And she just basically was like, oh, no, you're good. That's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear, okay, let's try this. Let's do this. You can have this if you want to feel this way. So she didn't give me what I wanted. So I guess you have to listen to what the person is saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And help them.
Yeah, and I want everybody who's still on the call who's listening really pay attention to what Moshe is saying right now, because this is critical. When, you know, I know that coaches I've worked with in the past, if they did not get me the result or get me moved along the journey in such a way to where I really wanted to be, I didn't continue working with them. And so there has to be a constant communication and connection. I mean, that's what you said, Moshe. You said we didn't connect. And I think that you felt it was overpriced because you weren't getting your needs met. And honestly, she could have charged you $5,000 for that first half hour if you got amazing results and your needs were met and then some. So, you know, money, the value proposition that we have, no matter what we buy, if we get not only what we want, but more than we want, and we get amazing results from something, we would pay anything for it, just like the whole MasterCard priceless commercials, right? So you have to think lens and be totally crystal clear that your clients are asking for something, and they're not, in many cases, not able to articulate it in a way that fits into your specialty. So a lot of times when I work with a new client, they'll say, oh, Terry, you know, our website's outdated. You know, we have this, that, and the other going on, and our services are over here, and we're doing this, that, you know. So they get very focused on the thing and the tactics and want to just make that better. Like if they throw some more money at the website or redo it or get a new brand, that'll fix all the problems. So when I talk to them, when I do my first intakes, I'm always listening for the intangibles. I'm listening for what do they really, so if their website works better, what is the outcome of that? So in other words, what are they really trying to solve? What is the true problem that they're trying to solve? And a lot of people don't know what that is. But it always boils down to, in many cases, although if they make more money, they'll feel better because they won't have the pressures of finances. If they get that relationship, they won't feel so lonely. So they'll be in a relationship. They'll have love in their life. You know, if it's a health issue, then they want to get over their, you know, whatever their health situation is, whether it's a chronic fatigue or, you know, coping with a disability or whatever it is, they want to be able to feel better. And I find that in the clients that I work with, that happens many times when they're really just trying to use the business as a mechanism to actually achieve an emotional state of being. And once I can figure out what that emotional state of being is, whether it's, obviously the financial security, whether it's the validation, whether it's, you know, just building a legacy, whatever it is that's driving them to do what they want to do and where they're using the business as a mechanism, I always, everything I do for them caters to that end result. And whatever tactical thing I do is going to bring that about much faster because now I know what they really want. And I think that the diagnosing process of working with new prospects is, it's a talent that takes a while to cultivate. Obviously, you need the right level of empathy. You need to be able to be a good listener and to probe in such a way where you get them to actually bring it out for you. Because like I said, they often don't really know what's at the heart of why they're not happy and why they're reaching out to you for help. So in this particular situation, Marcia, that you provided about the $400 half-hour chick, you know, this is a perfect example of she didn't do her job. She really didn't identify from what you've shared what you were truly seeking and the way you wanted it delivered to you. Now, just through that example I gave you, you may be even looking at that whole experience differently than you were as you just first shared it with me. So where are you now with your question?
I think I know about how much I want to start out with asking. I know you said come out of the gate asking what you want, so I think I'm comfortable with that number. And I think I'll be able to keep a clientele and keep it going and make my business grow that way.
Okay, good. So coming out with that number, and let's say you talk to four or five prospects and you tell them your rate and what you can offer, and you do the things you need to do in order to bring on a new client. And if they come back to you and say, oh, no, that's too much, I can't afford that, how will you respond to that?
I will tell them I have a package rate, and if they pay up front for a certain amount of classes, they'll get one free, or coaching sessions, and they'll get one free, and that will save them money, and maybe that will possibly help them out better. And I will also let them see how much I can help them and give them a couple of different ideas to make them really want to be with me. Because if somebody wants something, they're going to do whatever they have to do to get it.
I agree. So can I give you another alternative to respond to someone giving you pushback on price? Because one of the results that you'll get by giving them a further menu of options is more price resistance, because what you're doing is you're not creating a value proposition. So what I would suggest is one way to respond to that is to ask them, what would your budget be? Where do you feel you need, or what do you have to invest in your solution? Now, obviously, you've gone through the probing and you know what that they want. You've figured it out on that initial call, on that prospecting call. And when you ask them, when you put it back in their court, they'll tell you. They'll say, this is what I have. Is that something you think you could try? Because it's going to happen.
Well, I kind of look at it this way. I'm also looking into the Christian foundation part of the Christian. So I would think, as for the things that I've been learning so far, yes, because isn't what I'm doing helping people anyway? So maybe a certain select few I can work with their budget to help them, because in reality it's going to make me feel good making them feel good. And that's still going to leave them happy, where they're going to go and talk to somebody else also and say, you know what, she really worked with me. She was really good
right.
at what
so
she
then
did.
All of a sudden, then all of a sudden you're going to get a stream of people that expect discounts and favors.
Yeah, and that's not a good thing.
No. See, this is why I wanted to have this conversation about pricing and about, you know, standing your ground on what your value proposition. And it's going to be challenging. And I've had to turn down some work that I thought would be really good fits because they just did not have the budget for what they really needed. And that's okay. There are going to be people who come to you that will not be good fits for that reason and that reason alone. And there's nothing wrong with that, because as you develop your business, there's going to be more ways than just that traditional time for money or package for money or whatever you have a way of providing your service or charging for your service, that you can provide value. And those people are the ones you send to your podcast or your blog or your newsletter or a very inexpensive online course that you've developed. And keeping them, you know, cared for and in the family, so to speak, of your value is a way for you to build and deepen that relationship. And what the more that they see and experience of your consistent message and what you're about, the more they're going to find the money to work with you. And this happens invariably every single time. And that's why it's important to have more than just one very narrow stream of marketing and content delivery, because you want people to actually start building a relationship with you. You want them to have that know-like trust factor. So that's what I would recommend for you, is to be very, very confident in your pricing structure and how you charge for what you do. But don't be afraid to ask people the question, you know, well, what do you feel is appropriate for this type of coaching program? You know, because it's my goal to learn what my, you know, prospective clients can afford and need and things like that. So treat it almost like a little mini research project and ask questions, find out, do some probing, find out what really is going on. And if you're presenting the situation right, people will find the money, even if they have to go and ask somebody for it. And, you know, if you really think down the road this person could be a good client, not only from the standpoint of, you know, being a repeat revenue, but also a good referral, not referring you people who are going to come and ask for discounts, but someone who really can speak for you in a very easy, organic way, then yes, by all means, try to make it work for them. But you don't want to be bending over backwards for every single prospect that comes down the pike, which is why I wanted to emphasize in here about the transition, about getting started, about all the impacts that will overwhelm you as you're starting your practice, because it's a lot to set this up. But that would be my recommendation for you, so I hope that would be helpful. Now, if you want to continue the conversation or get more help, just send me an email, terry@better3.com. It's all on my website. And that goes for anybody on here who doesn't get a chance to talk on this particular call. So I see we've got like 12 minutes left, so I just want to open it back up to see if someone else has a question that they'd like to ask. So thank you very much, Moishe.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else have something?
This is Amanda.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's just been incredibly informative. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For the question, because I've just been absorbing. Just a little background on me. I'm trying to formulate my question, so maybe as I'm telling you about myself, it'll come. I actually was a therapist for 30 years, and I just retired. I actually worked for the state of South Carolina, and decided I really wanted to get into coaching, did it. I also went through Jim's course, got my training, and was board certified in January. So I retired in February. I'm like at the very beginning. And like you were saying, I have learned so much because I've been doing everything from getting my business license to my LLC, my website, business bank account, and it's truly, it becomes very overwhelming at times. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So one of the things that I always loved in therapy was helping and working with parents. And so my plan is to do specialize in parenting coaching. And I think for me, and I'm just stuck. I am by nature kind of an introvert. Now, I love meeting clients. I love talking about what I you know, what I do, the opportunity to talk about coaching. I'd be thrilled if someone actually called. I do not have any clients yet. But I am very intimidated by the whole kind of networking, marketing, like putting myself out there, because it's completely novel, and it just, you know, and I've never, you know, I have a business now, and it is like a baby. You do have to nurture it. But my business acumen is lacking. It's growing. It's getting better, but there's definitely a learning curve. And so I'm feeling a little overwhelmed by this whole, A, just because I just left this career that I'd had for so long. I have this brand new career. I have this business, and it's exciting, but I'm kind of overwhelmed. And the other piece to it is my last 10 and a half years, I've worked exclusively with first responders, so doing a lot of trauma work. And so the other part of my business is being a consultant for departments and agencies who are wanting to have behavioral health programs for their employees. And so they're two very different, obviously, you know, one's very much consultation, the other one is coaching. And I feel just kind of scattered. My website, they're both on, you know, they're both described on there, so someone could look at my website and say, oh, well, see, Amanda does this, or, you know, or does this. And so I'm trying to network to and market to two very different populations, and I was wondering if you had any suggestions for that and how to weather kind of the disappointments that come along, because I've had, you know, like inquiries and people saying that they'd like to call and schedule this and discuss options, and then like nothing happens. And I get that that's part of this growth. And I remember Jim talking about how long it could take. But it's kind of this. I find that I get kind of disheartened at times. So I just wondered if you had any feedback on that.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for giving me, you know, just kind of like the 411 on where you're at.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that. No, it's great. And good for you for, you know, I don't know how old you are. I'm 56. So, you know, I get what it's like to start a career late in life. And
I'm 54.
Make the, yeah. So I'm older than you.
Not by much.
I know. I'm just kidding. Having some fun with you. So there's a lot of things in here that I would like to address. Now, given the fact that we've only got, you know, 2 minutes left, I do want to talk to you about you feeling scattered because you do have these two areas. So I'm going to go through and ask you some questions. It's going to help you answer that question. And when we're done having this conversation, you're going to feel like a huge boulder has been lifted off your shoulders, because it's going to make your business direction that much clearer. Okay?
Okay.
So talk to me about the working with parenting, you know, the working with parents. What is it that you like about that?
It boils down to empowering parents and working with them. So you have to remember, I was doing this as a therapist, and kind of like exploring, you know, how they would like to parent.
I'm going to stop you for a second. So you didn't answer you're not going in the right direction with the question I asked. So what do you like about it? What you're doing is you're giving me the how. So I want you to share with me, okay, so there's a method to my madness, Amanda. So hang in there, baby.
Nope, I'm hanging in.
So what is it that you like about working with parents?
I have a passion for it. It makes, like, I'm excited. It makes me feel really good. I feel connected with other parents, and it really makes me feel good. I just feel really excited in helping someone, giving them support, giving them direction. But personally, I find it extremely rewarding.
Okay. All right. Now, let's answer the same question for the EMS, for the first responders, and being a PTSD type of a trauma support for those.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you really enjoy about doing that particular aspect of work?
I love, so I worked mostly with firefighters, and so again, it's just it's a passion of mine. I find that community and the culture amazing. I have so much respect for the people in the profession, and I, over the course of time, I've made great connections with like our local fire service, and they're a great group of people. I mean, they're passionate, they're compassionate, they're funny, and in turn, you know, again, I just feel like really alive, like just it's so enthusiastic when I'm working with first responders, especially firefighters.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So if anybody else is on the call, which one do you think would be a better choice based on how Amanda responded to those questions, if there's anybody still on the call? Just jump in and pick which one.
This is Joanne. She talks very passionately about working with the firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
But
anybody else?
There's more parents around, I guess.
Okay. Anybody else?
It's Marcia again. She seems more confident when she talks about the firefighters and the EMS than that. Even though she has a passion for the parents, she's just more confident when she's talking about the firefighters.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else want to contribute? All right. So, Amanda, what do you feel now that you answered those two questions and heard the feedback?
I would have to say my passion for working with the firefighters. Even as I was telling you, I was like, I felt it. Like, I actually kind of felt that enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think there's your answer. So now, does that mean you need to totally abandon the whole parent focus? No, of course not. But picking one ideal prospect, and you know, the firefighters, and I would even invite you to, I mean, you can niche as deeply as just firefighters, but working with any responder, law enforcement or paramedics, you know, ambulance workers and stuff, you know, I actually have a client that's an ambulance company, so I'm very familiar with this industry. And that's something you can specialize and target really, really well. So the next question would be, you know, there's definitely a market there for it, but what is the revenue tolerance? In other words, the cost structure, you know, how is that all worked out? And obviously that's a different conversation, but I think you've found your focus. And what this is going to do is this is going to free you up to really get some good work done and know where to go. And no, you don't need to go hang out at the fire station with the guys. You know what I mean? But what you do need to do is put together a message that speaks to supporting the organizations that employ them. So that would be the unions that the firefighters are members of, if you aren't already affiliated with that. I mean, you said that you found the community and culture amazing, and you've got respect for the people in that profession. Mm-hmm. And you've made some great connections. So I would immediately start leveraging those connections and look at your services as a coach and create products, not packages, but products out of the services that you have, and make them very quantitative, you know, a certain length of time, this is the results that they get out of it, and blah, 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 and then give it a name and have one, two, or three products, no more than three. The first one can be an introductory one. And everything that you create on your content stream, you know, your blog or your podcast or whatever social media you're posting, make sure that you're putting yourself out there as a subject matter expert in firefighting trauma coaching. And really cultivate what that is for you. And you can have a lot of fun building that and really just kind of sink your teeth into it. Interview firefighters, you know, what really helped you when I worked with you. You know, what are some of the things? I mean, there's a lot of things that come into play with trauma that are beyond just the coaching. You know, there's the physical, there's the mental, it's a neurological issue. There's a lot of different other factors that come in. There's medication, the pharmacology with it. So that's what I would do. I know that was a lot, but if you do want to continue the conversation, if you want some help with any of this, just reach out to me, terry@better3.com, and I'm happy to talk to you more about it. So looks like we're at the top of the hour. So thank you, Amanda, for sharing about your business and what you're struggling with. I hope you got some value from our conversation.
I did. It was awesome.
And if anybody else wanted to ask questions or talk to me about anything, I want to extend to you. Don't forget about the special, better3.com/special, or just shoot me an email and reach out to me. I'm more than happy to talk to you about whatever you're struggling with in your business, because you guys need to get out there and help a lot of people, and I want everybody to be super, super successful. So thanks for being here today, and I look forward to seeing you guys again in 2 weeks on our second teleclass. Thanks a bunch.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.